Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean and I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus in addition to being the lead pastor at LifePoint. Before we jump in, I just want to say I hope you enjoyed last Friday being able to pray the scriptures together on the Drivecast, and just want to remind you we're going to keep that up for the next few weeks. Pastor Jeff will be leading us through different passages that we're going to pray on Fridays. And this past weekend in the series we're calling Alive, going through the book of Ephesians, we had the opportunity to just kind of go through one of the great passages in all of Scripture, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And the first verses kind of talk more about the bad news, which is, you know, we've talked about throughout the series that you can be physically alive but spiritually dead. And it goes into great detail to describe exactly how dead we are, spiritually speaking, that we follow the course of this world, that we are dead in trespasses and sin, that we have the spirit of disobedience, that we're following out the passions of our flesh, the children of wrath. I mean, all those things sound really, really harsh. And sometimes I think that people look and say, well, now, wait a minute, I see good in the world. And the reality is we're created in God's image. So there's no doubt we're going to see good in other people. We're talking about this, and Paul is talking to the Ephesians about this from a spiritual perspective. It's not that there aren't good things done in the world. That's not what Paul's saying. He's just saying that we don't have the ability in and of ourselves to connect with God. And so part of what we talked about at Lewis Center is that what you see going on in the world today is that there's just very little recognition of the fact that I'm part of the problem. We're kind of just set up to be judgmental of everyone else. And maybe one of the biggest problems in the world today is pride. And the reality is that we think everyone else is part of the problem. You know, married couples don't come in and sit down in my office and, you know, the wife says, you know, really, Dean, it's not him, it's me. I'm what's wrong. And then the husband will respond, no, it's not her, it's me. You know, most often we're pointing the fingers at everyone else, and we think everybody else is part of the problem. And I think in this scenario, what Paul is saying is, no, it's you. That we are all born into this world spiritually dead, and therefore we're all part of the problem. But that's okay in light of what he says next, because he says, but God being rich in mercy. And those two words, but God, they change everything because they draw us to the good news, which means that even though we're spiritually dead, we can be made more alive than we've ever been. And I zeroed in on one of the things that Paul says in those verses there, where he says that in the coming age, that he God might show you the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And a couple of the New Testament commentators that I wrote just used that to describe that God wants to display his love in us, much like a trophy, like we put a trophy in a trophy case to remind us of a great victory in our lives. And so God wants to use our lives as evidence of the fact that no one loves the way that he loves. So that kind of points us to ask some questions well, does that include everybody? And the answer is yes. Well, if that includes everybody, does that mean that includes people like Adolf Hitler? Does that mean that includes Joseph Stalin? And we said they wouldn't even come close. Mao Zedong, don't even touch the end of God's incredible love. That makes us a little bit uncomfortable at times. So it makes us ask the question, well, then how does salvation, how does it actually work? And that's where these great verses in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 come in. We talked about the three little words that describe the process of salvation. And the three key words are by, through, and for. First of all, it says, for by grace you've been saved. We kind of made up a word. We said that salvation is by grace, meaning that is God's unearnable approval. And what that just means is that no one is unsavable. I got a letter from someone who's connected to our church, who's currently incarcerated. And he just talked about some of the great things that God is doing in the prison that he is in, based upon some of the resources that he got, some of the things that he learned, and kind of the ways he was discipled while he was at our church. And sometimes I think we have the tendency to think, well, there are certain people who are just they're outside of God's love. And it's just not the case. God is using this young man in some incredible, incredible ways. He's no different than any of us, theologically speaking, because none of us can earn it. It's by grace, but not just by grace, but it's through faith. We have to trust it. And I've described a scenario in mine and Angie's marriage early on where her cousin gifted to us a dining room set from her great grandmother. Probably been in their family longer than that, over 100 years old, had been sitting up in a barn. And he gave it to us, not because we earned it, but simply because he loved Angie. As a matter of fact, I think he told Angie, we're kind of disappointed that you married a Yankee. He was from Arkansas, but we're going to give it to you anyway. It was just by grace. But in receiving it, then it became through faith. So we had to restore some of the furniture, got some help doing that. And there came a moment where you actually have to sit down in the chair, right, and use it. It's actively trusting. Faith is not just saying you believe certain things. It's actively trusting God in key critical moments. So when you're frustrated with your boss, when you're in a situation where you're being baited maybe to say critical things, when your spouse is in a bad mood and they're pushing all of your buttons, can you actively trust in God when you're maybe the unfavorite kid in the family? You're the one who does everything right, and maybe you have a sibling who misbehaves consistently, and it seems like they get all of the attention. Can you run to Christ and rest in Him and trust in Him to get the approval that you're seeking? And then the last word is for. We just didn't have a lot of time to talk about verse 10. We're going to jump in on that next week. But you are saved for good works. The verse there says, for you are His workmanship. So we are saved to show off God's love, to show off God's glory, to be God's trophy, and then to serve others. And one of the things we talked about there is just this reality that as our country continues to reopen, you know, just last Sunday, I think we had a 25% increase in attendance at Lewis Center. And so we need people to serve. If you currently or you were serving on a team before COVID began, well, I just ask you to consider jumping back onto that team and getting back into the rotation to serve. Or if you're not currently serving, take the opportunity to connect with us and learn about serving opportunities that we have coming up. And, you know, it was great on Sunday. We had four baptisms at Lewis Center, and knowing, hearing, seeing the stories of those folks and how the whole church body had come together to be part of those stories was an incredible example of the serving that you are doing. So I would just ask you to pray for us as we continue to take steps forward, that we would continue, that people would continue to come alongside and re-engage in the serving process on our team. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you the opportunity to pray today. God, we just pray through these scriptures. We're grateful that we are saved by grace through faith, even though, God, there's nothing in and of us that is worthy of salvation. Lord, You died, and we get all the benefits. Lord, we're saved to serve, and I pray that we're investing our lives in others, that we are seeing the opportunities that You're giving us right now in these current uncertain days to make a difference. Lord, I pray that we are good workmanship in Your hands. Now I'll give You the opportunity to pray as You start your day. Well, once again, thanks for joining us today on the Drivecast. I hope that you're not only having a great start to your week, but as we have a holiday week, maybe you'll get some time off, that you'll take the time to invest your heart in reading some scripture. And join us again on Friday as we pray God's word together. God bless. Have a great day.